is pleased with us. So a few weeks back, I asked this question, is there anything that you and I can do that we can cause the Lord to like us, to favor us, to have approval? Is there anything that we can do? Well, at the end of Hebrews 11, the hall of faith, we read these words, and these, having gained approval through their faith. There is something in you, by his grace and by his gift, there is something in you that will make him smile, that will be approval. It said in verse 8, if the Lord is pleased with us, what pleases the Lord? The faith in here that says, yes. In spite of the fear, the doubt, all the things that the enemy wants to load you up with. So going back to the story at Kadesh Barnea, if Israel had moved forward in faith, if they had moved forward in faith, God would have been pleased with them and would have brought them into the land. Because they did not move forward, what happened? Well, we read in Numbers 14, they said, stone Joshua and Caleb. They didn't just say, I'm sorry, let me back up. It's so telling that they give this death sentence, because before them stood two men with faith, telling them to move forward into the fullness of what the Lord had for them, and that what God had for them was based on a promise by God who cannot lie and who cannot change, based on a promise. They said, in faith, move forward. And their response to this wasn't just, no, we're not going to go. It wasn't, stop talking about it. It wasn't, go away. It wasn't, we're not going to listen to you anymore. It was, kill them. This is the response of the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are at enmity with each other. There is always this war. Now, a short time after this, Numbers 14, they said, oh yeah, we're wrong, we're wrong. We'll go in, we'll fight. And again, if you look at the history, if you remember the history, they decided to go ahead and fight. And the enemy stomped them into the ground. King James used different words, but they beat them, like chased them like bees. Now, as we go into the New Testament for more on this story, keep in mind that the writer of Hebrews describes this event in terms of entering rest. And clearly, the believer who is abiding in Christ, who's walking in the fullness of their salvation, that person is someone who has entered into rest. Oh, they're working and they're doing and they're being and they're expressing, and there's a whole lot of activity. But the activity is from a place of rest. Rest and contentment, abiding. And this is what we've been talking about for these many weeks. By faith, moving out of Adam and into Christ. Being dead to ourselves and alive to God. Walking according to the Spirit, not walking according to the flesh. Partaking of the tree of life, expressing the life of Christ from our innermost being. Living this way, living the exchange life, is a life of rest. Now, I want to read from Hebrews chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews is looking back, I believe, at Kadesh Barnea, referring to this as entering rest. Hebrews 3:12 says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because we have become partakers of Christ. Remember, partaking of the tree of life? Reach out, take hold, eat. We've become partakers of Christ if we hold fast to the beginning if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, listen, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Let me repeat that. So we see they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. I'm going to pause right here. We've had good news preached to us. Decades here at Family Ministries, the preeminence of Christ. On and on and on we can go. We've had this great fullness. They had the word. They had God telling them the goodness of the land that he was going to bring them into. And then this phrase in verse 2, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united with faith in those who heard. The word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. In fact, that's the title of the message, combined with faith. For we who have believed, verse 3, for we who have believed enter that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6, therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day today, saying through David after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And saints, I'm telling you, we're at Kadesh Barnea. In a sense, we're really at Kadesh Barnea every day. 2 weeks ago, I challenged you to have this heart posture before the Lord. Show me where I'm saying no. And really what I'm saying is, show me where I'm listening to the report of the 10 spies. Show me where I'm worried about giants. Show me where I'm looking at the fortified cities and saying, mm-mm. Show me where I'm acting in negative faith, fear. I think every time that we don't move forward with the Lord, it's really rooted in fear in some way or the other. We need to allow the Lord to move in our hearts, in our minds. But as we begin to head toward the end, the close of this morning's message, there's also an encouragement from Kadesh Barnea. The two spies that said we should go into the land, Joshua and Caleb. Now you know clearly that Joshua prefigures the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, it's hard to say that and not go down that path and start preaching those points. But what about Caleb? Numbers 14, verse 24 says, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. God tells us that Caleb had a different spirit and that he followed him fully. So I think Caleb is a picture of someone who follows the leading of the Spirit, who walks in the Spirit, who walks in fullness, who fully walks according to the Spirit. So we read this testimony of Caleb in Joshua chapter 14. It's a number of verses here, starting at verse 6. Joshua 14:6 says, "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully.' So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years. From the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now, behold, I'm 85 years old today.'" I love verse 11. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and for coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there," that's the giants, "with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken." So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Verse 14, "Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully." Now, the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. The very concerns that the 10 spies raised were in Hebron. The giants, the fortified city. And this man who fully followed the Spirit of the Lord said, "I want that place." But Caleb wasn't the only giant slayer to ever go to Hebron. Because Hebron is the place where, later on, King David would be first crowned King of Israel. And see, here's what I'm saying happens. When we choose, when we have this desire to partake of Christ, when we want to eat his flesh, drink his blood, when we want to partake, we reach out, take hold, by faith. And he begins to come into us. And we're operating by faith, not by fear. Then the opposition, that's the Lord's deal. Giants aren't a problem. Fortified cities, not a problem. But it brings us to the place where Jesus is king. So Hebron is where David was crowned king, David the predecessor to our Lord Jesus Christ. It brings us to the place where he is enthroned. And again, we could go back through these passages, but it's the throne of God. It's in this temple. It's out of this temple that this river of living water flows. I just want to add one thing before the last few sentences. I'm going pretty well on time. I'm talking about being combined with faith. You've received the word. You've heard the word. You've heard it over and over. Now, will you combine it with faith? So what does that mean? How do we actually combine it with faith? I don't know. Now, our brother Lex last week went through all these steps of the father of faith, Abraham. It's a long story, and my heart is right with him. I enjoy reading through all these things and puzzling over, wow, how could he even think these things? How could he go through these things? What was that like? I don't even know. And my point to you is this. We serve an infinite God. There are no limits on what he thinks or can do. There's no limits on him. And even in the pinnacle of his creation, the only thing that bears his image, there's no duplicates. He is so vast, there are no two people that are identical. And even if they get to the place where they can unravel the DNA and the RNA and make a duplicate copy, it's not going to be the same person. Because he is so infinite. And because he's so infinite, I can't tell you how combining with faith is going to look in your life. I can look at Abraham's story, and I can say that when he combined it with faith, he took 318 of his homegrown slaves and went and kicked the butts of four or five kings and brought Lot home. That's probably not going to happen to anyone here. There were things that we read in Abraham's life that probably, the story is not going to be the same, but in principle, probably the same. And I'm just telling you, I can't define what it is for you to move forward in the fullness of Christ and to combine it with faith. But I can tell you that it will look like the life of the Lord Jesus Christ being expressed through you. And the rivers of living water flowing into this wilderness and this quagmire right here in Bridgeville, right here in Delaware, right here in the East Coast. And it's for his glory. And so as I close, in the words recorded in Hebrews, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. I encourage you to receive this word, combine it with faith. Combine it with faith that we can enter his rest, that we can abide in Christ, that we can express his life for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are magnificent beyond words. Glorify yourself. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.